Hey!
Hey, guys!
It's time!
Woo! Black Girls Laughing!
We're back again!
We're back!
More, like, what is this? The third or the fourth week in a row? Fourth week in a row! Look at us!
Look at us!
Shit, I've been in... Yeah. I've been away for a while already. Yeah. Damn. It's,
anywho. And moving on.
So, how was your week?
You know, I am too type A to be unemployed. Like, this don't work. Idle hands are the devil's plaything.
What are you doing? Are you doing bad things?
No. Like, and more for me, it's like having more time to overthink things is horrible, because I don't need more time to overthink. I just do it on my own, so having more time to do it is stressful. But I had a really good conversation with Monica from Museum Hue.
Oh.
And there may be, you know, some of we may be working together, so that'll be exciting.
Cool.
And I at least have a list of jobs I know I want to apply to, and I started working on a cover letter for an organization that I've been volunteering for in Philly that is now hiring.
Oh, that's great.
So we'll see about that, but you know, just trying to keep myself in the flow of things. It was like 70 degrees here, so I spent as much time as I could outside when it was that nice. I spent the entire day in the sunshine, so that was great. But, you know, just trucking along, trying to keep my head up. It's getting pretty tough, but February's almost over, which is awesome because I hate February.
It's a terrible month.
And this year, I know you and I have talked about it. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast, but for the last now 4 years in a row, my family has lost a family member at the beginning of the new year. And this year, it was two very close family friends. So my mom's been dealing with grieving since the new year has started.
Ooh.
And it's awful, and I feel pretty helpless. And grief is not something that I have ever been good with. And I don't know. It'll probably take years of therapy, to be completely honest, for me to ever be good with grief. I went to therapy for years four already, and I'll probably have to go maybe for the rest of my life. But February's almost over, which is like usually the worst month for me and for my family. So I'm looking forward to that. How about you? What I saw you take awesome pictures and you had an awesome adventure this weekend in Colorado.
Yeah. Man, that week was okay. It's just like I'm sort of getting in this like I'm getting a little depressed about not having like people here. And so that sucks. And then like I hang out with people from my job a lot because that's just like the culture at my job, and that's cool, but that's also like freaking stressful. And I think that is starting to weigh on me, is like always being with white people. So yeah. But yesterday, I went up to Denver for the first time and had a wonderful, wonderful little visit. We were going to go up there because the Museum of Art in Denver is having... They're having the Star Wars exhibit of, like, all their costumes. So we were trying to go do that and, like... The Friday night, I was like, oh, I heard about that. I was like, let's totally do that. That's, like, perfect. That's, like, it's a perfect thing for, like, Jordan and I to do together in a new city. And I went to go buy tickets, and they were already sold out. And so I was like, oh, all right, let's figure out something else to do. And I found out that there was a different museum that, like, fits with what I am very interested in. And what I've been sort of obsessing about since I've moved to Colorado, and it's the Black American West Museum. And it's just this little tiny museum that's in a house of the first black female physician in Colorado. She was a physician starting in 1902. And it just really just dives into the history of settlement life and farming life in Colorado and how black people were a part of the expansion of the United States. And so there's just like so many interesting folks that I want to do research on and find, like, learn more about. And I want to go and meet with the curator of that museum more. They do a lot of like teaching out of the museum, and I just want to be a part of what they're doing and help them share that history and that story. There's just like, they have so many artifacts. It's just like a house filled with so many things to just to know that your, you know, distant ancestors or other black people from, so yeah, I'm not related to these people. I'm not from this part of the country. But just like, but black history in general and seeing it, I don't know, I have very much a East Coast and Southern understanding of blackness. To understand Western blackness is exhilarating, and it's like a new definition of it's a new understanding of black and a history of that, because these people were land owning, business owning, very self-sufficient black people that were a lot of talk about Booker T. Washington, like they're definitely from, and when it, and like if from like American literature studies, you might understand like that difference between like that Booker T. Washington like self-reliance versus like W.E.B. Du Bois and intellectualism, and like those types of differences in like black understanding and identity, assimilation versus really understanding what it means, and versus like a hyphenated identity. So yeah, it's just interesting. It was just a very interesting museum to walk through. Learned a lot about like black cowboys. You know, cowboys is an American identity, is something that has been very whitewashed. And so to see these black cowboys that were like doing all these, have like specialty tricks that like crazy ways to like kill bulls and to like jump on and off of horses and stuff. It was just such a cool little place. So I definitely recommend, if you guys are in Colorado, to check that out. It was a really cute part of Denver too. It was like, oh, this is where I want to live in Denver. It's the place where, you know, it's diverse, but, and there's business growth here, but it's not in that terrible gentrification type way. It's more just that these people are prideful of their community. So, yeah, that was fun. And then I saw some really weird and, not weird, just terrible, I did not like it, ballet. like, I really enjoyed the first piece, and the other pieces were just trash. And I was just like, wow, this place is sold out. And these white people are just lapping up this terrible shit. I was pleased that the rest of the... I went with people from work, and that everyone else wasn't, like, totally into it, too. So I was like, okay, great. We can talk about art more. But, yeah, it was just odd. And again, like, I'm, like, very worn out from... I need some black people. I mean, I cherish our, like, couple of hours together over Skype, but... I'm in need, and I don't know how to find them, so...
You need your bee!
Yes, it's so sad. Come, move here! Fuck Philly! It's better in the West.
I don't know, dude. I keep thinking I want to leave, and then I keep seeing... Jim Kenney put out something else that's essentially giving Donald Trump the middle finger, and I'm like, you're not the greatest person in the world, But this is pretty cool, and I'm glad you're talking about it.
Yeah. That's the thing I miss about Philly, is that I'm seeing all this great work coming out of there. And there's some good stuff happening here, but I need to find... Well, I want to start going to some of the Indivisible events in Denver. And I want to go there with my investigative, like, reporter hat on and ask them questions about the better outreach of their mission, and how they are planning to connect with disenfranchised folks. Because, like, right now, they just had, like, a big town hall that the Gardner, who is the Republican senator, did not attend, but they held it for him, set up all the things, and, like, you know, show their anger about what our Congress is doing. And it was just a very, very white crowd. And I looked up the, like, demographics of Denver, and it's not a very white city. So, yeah, what is that? And it was another interesting thing about going to Denver was understanding how white people being afraid of the city that they live near is just everywhere, even if it's like a relatively, like, white ass city like Denver. Like, you know, just like how, I don't know, you know, you meet those suburban whites and they're just sort of like, oh, I don't know about the city. And it's just like, what are you talking about? Like, just go down there and, like, walk around. Like,
yeah, no.
Yeah, and so I had, like, lots of reflections on this, on, like, stuff like that. But it was cool. Denver's cool. I got some really good beer. I went to the Great Divide Brewing Company, and their beer is just heavenly. I like really hoppy, stanky, like, almost was like a skunk type of beer, and, like, they had it, and it was just like, give it to me, give me those hops.
Ew.
And it was like a chill.
So disgusting.
I like it that way. And then we went, they have a lot of micro distilleries.
Ooh.
They have really weird alcohol laws that are really beneficial to a lot of diversity in the market.
Oh.
Because you can only, if you own a liquor store, you can only have one. So, like, all the major, like, grocery stores, there's, like, only one Trader Joe's that has Tupac Chuck in the entire state. And, of course, that's in Denver. There's only one Whole Foods that serves beer, you know. But there's just a lot of liquor stores, and then it also, and then, like, everyone has their own craft brewery. Like, there's, like, 40 that I'm going to check out in Colorado Springs alone. And so it's just, like, we were just in this part of the town that's near the baseball stadium that just had, like, so many breweries and beer and distilleries. This was a distillery that they'd make their own gin, vodka, tequila, bourbon, all on site. And then they also infuse all of their liquors, and there was this, like, pepperoncini.
I saw vodka. You post about that. I feel like I would love that.
It was very tasty, and I that's what Jordan had, and then I had the red cherry pepper infused vodka that was, like, tasted very similar to the pepperoncini. So, but it was just, like, cool. And I was like, oh, just got all these ideas for ways I'm going to infuse my vodka for the vodka day that we have at my job. So, yeah, I mean, the place is cool. Like, Denver's cool. I can't wait to, like, hang out in it more. I can't wait to bring friends and we get drunk and have fun food.
Me!
Oh, and, like, I thought I'd seen a lot of marijuana shops, because in Colorado Springs there's a lot of medical marijuana shops, because recreational marijuana is is not legally sold here. But in Denver, it was just like every two stores was a freaking weed shop. So I was like, that's cool. That's why the prices are very low, I hear, here.
That's awesome.
Oh.
I can't wait to visit and go everywhere.
Yeah. And then the Oscars are tonight, right? And we talked about the Oscars with some of my coworkers, and it was funny. Of the three people that I was talking to, we all had seen the movies that you would expect each of us to see. So, like, So, like, of course, like, the black woman there in the circle has seen Moonlight and Hidden Figures with plans of seeing Fences. And then the white guy had only seen Manchester by the Sea. And then the entrepreneurial white woman with an 11-year-old daughter, of course, had seen Hidden Figures because... You girls. Know, boss, yeah, girls rock. So, it just made me laugh. I was like, yep, uh-huh, it totally makes sense. You guys should all see Moonlight, too.
Yeah.
I convinced the white guy to see it, for sure. I was like, it's like Boyhood, but a shit ton better. And he was like, oh, I thought there was issues with Boyhood, too. And I was like, perfect, there you go.
I haven't seen it yet. I, like, missed it when it was in theaters, so I'm just gonna have to wait.
Yeah.
At this point, which sucks.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's gonna be... You're gonna be able to get it on video, on demand, or whatever.
Yeah. But that's because I saw Fences and Hidden Figures instead.
Hey, we only have so much time to go to the movies.
Or so much money.
Yes, that's the truth.
Movies are expensive, yo. And I have to buy movie theater popcorn. Because, like, nothing is better than movie theater popcorn. I ain't got to buy anything else. I can skip the drinks. I can skip the candy. But I love movie theater popcorn.
Oh, I've had too much in the past. I don't like it as much.
I love it. It's, like, so much better. Also, that's because when I go and buy myself popcorn, I look at everything and I'm like, girl, you don't need all that butter. But when I'm at the movie theater, I'm like, I'm at the movies.
Well, I mean, yeah. Let's celebrate. You're at the movies, you have to get the huge one because you get a free refill. Like, why would you not?
Exactly.
You're already spending $1 billion. Might as well spend $1 billion in one.
Exactly. So should we get this show officially on the road?
Yes. The John.
The John. So, I feel like we can both talk about this first one, which is why I threw it in there. So, Brittany.
Oh, and Trey. All of it.
Yeah,
all of it.
I mean, we're talking
about pretty much all of it.
Because
actually, my last, the one that I put in at the end, was I was going to loop in the second one.
Oh,
so.
Perfect. Perfect. As always. As usual. So, Brittany talked about in the last episode, actually, perfect timing that this happened, Peaches Monroe. As we said before, Peaches Monroe is the girl who started the phrase on fleek that you see everywhere to the point where you now roll your eyes when you hear it, when you see it, when you say it with your friends. You're just like, everything's on fleek, this on fleek, I'm on fleek, eyebrows on fleek. Well, Peaches is now asking us to pay her what we owe her, essentially. She started a GoFundMe page, raising money to start her own cosmetic and hair product lines. Obviously, she's someone we should be able to trust for this, because her eyebrows were, in fact, on fleek.
The fuck?
And, you know, I've been following, like, the obvious discourse that I knew was going to happen from her starting a GoFundMe page. Because people are saying, you know, why should she get paid for this phrase? And, first of all, why shouldn't she? Because everyone has used it to market their own things and make money off of it. She started a world, the girl started a worldwide trend. And, you know, people saying things like, I don't get paid for the words I use. Well, you didn't come up with any of them. Or you would have known to get paid to use them. That cash me outside girl, who I don't have the tolerance to even look up what her name is getting money off of her stupid phrase that she didn't even come up with. I've heard many people say cash me outside. How about that before?
The damn Chewbacca mom who just wore a fucking Chewbacca mask got over $500,000.
That's all she, like, she didn't come up with that. Like,
she just was laughing in a mask.
That's it. The end. She didn't literally, I remember when On Fleek came out and I found this article because in college, my original major was English, and so I had to obviously study linguistics as part of my coursework. And this man who studied linguistics as well did this article about the dissemination of the term on fleek throughout the United States and how 14-year-old mm-hmm. girls, specifically young teenage black girls, are influencing the English language. And it was amazing. And it focused on Peaches Monroe and on fleek. So this girl should be getting paid. People are doing studies about this 1 6-second line she did that changed modern culture, pop culture, started a worldwide trend. Yes, she should get paid. Absolutely. Black girls should always get paid for their brilliance. Black girls deserve all the money that has ever gone through the world because they've created everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, she deserves it. And she's not even asking, just give me money. She's like, help me help myself. Like, help me make a business that will sustain itself. Clearly, I've got great marketing ideas. You guys all jumped on the fuck on fleek. Let me have something that I can actually market. Cause you're not giving me a check. No one's hiring me to be on the millennial squad at whatever marketing agency. So like, let her help herself.
Oh. Let her help y'all be on fleek.
Mm-hmm. You know, if she's a little more money, maybe she'll be coming up with some hot phrases in her next Snapchat that you guys can all take. But if she's suffering, if she needs some money, like, let her have it now so she can be free to be creative.
The end.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this weirdly goes, it isn't weird, isn't even weirdly, it just is the truth of life, relates to that museum that I went to, because it was all about black people taking ownership of their money and ownership of their products, because, and recognizing that they only have control and they will only be protected if they have ownership of it, and that there's no white people out here trying to give out jobs and give out money to every black person. So we need to go out and make our own.
Pay me what you owe me. Don't act like you forgot. I call the shots. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Bitch better have my air. Moolala. Okay, I'll stop. No, I won't. I'm still singing it in my head. Alright, so moving on to something both terrible and wonderful at the same time. I'm sure you all have seen all about Ian Grillett. He's a 24-year-old man who jumped in front of a terrorist. A 51-year-old man who apparently walked into a bar with a loaded gun and said, get out of my country, and proceeded to start shooting at, I've heard varying numbers, 2 or 3 Middle Eastern men. And he was shooting, and apparently Ian had thought that he used his whole round and decided to get up and tackle the man. And apparently he was wrong, so the terrorist continued to shoot at him. And unfortunately, in his act of terror, killed one of the men. But luckily, the other man survived and even went to visit Ian. Ian was injured by the man who was shooting. And told Ian, you know, his wife is 5 months pregnant. And this story is just amazing and awful. I say awful because this shouldn't be anything that anyone ever has to do for anyone else. You shouldn't have to jump in front of a bullet because a terrorist is shooting at people for being different. For looking different. You shouldn't have to jump in front of a bullet because white supremacy has plagued the minds of so many people. But wonderful because this man was brave enough to do something like that. I mean, when it first came out and I was talking to a friend about it, I was like, now this is a guy who can call himself an ally. This is what being an ally looks like. The scary shit. The really, when it gets really, really real, like real to the point where your life is also in jeopardy. That is, if there's another word for ally, that's it. He literally jumped in front of a gun for these people. Wow. And it's amazing. He's amazing. I'm scared that I keep seeing more of this on my timeline every day, but people like him, I don't even have the words. I can't even watch the video again because I, like, sobbed so hard the first time I watched it, but I mean, even a couple people said it would be nice instead of having to see heroes like this that people wouldn't think that's okay, but also at the same time, like, thank God or whoever or whatever you believe in that people like him, far and few between, do exist. And that's really all I have to say, except for thanks, Ian, for showing love, showing love in action, quite literally, for other human beings.
Wow. There's a lot of stories like that happening where people are putting their bodies in front, and I don't know, I'm just interested in seeing what's going to happen more, how many more of these things we're going to have to see. No one's saying anything about what's going on. Like, the fucking White House can't say anything about anything, about any of the uptick of hate that's been happening. They can't condemn it because those are the people that supported them. So, womp. Sorry, guys. So I went to the movies yesterday, not this weekend, to see goddamn Get Out, written and directed by Jordan Peele, and goddamn that movie was so good, like, amazing. If you like horror movies, if you like suspense, if you like to laugh, if you like shit that gets really real, really fast, you need to see Get Out. If you are a white person that doesn't understand what it means to be, how it feels to be a black person, and you have very low empathy for the black experience and how it could be different from your own, you should go see Get Out. Because that's the beauty of horror. Horror puts you into those uncomfortable positions, and this movie does it. if you want to feel what it feels to be a black man for 2 hours. And what's beautiful is you get to stop. You don't have to be black after it. Go seek it out and get some perspective. I just have to give just like all the props in the world to Jordan Peele. Like, I don't know. I really enjoyed the Key and Peele show. But I felt like there were some problematic aspects to the show. But this movie, I don't know, proves me that, you know, people are working through their shit and they're growing as artists. So don't let them grow and let them be better. And yeah, this is just great. Like, flawless. Well cast. Like, the white people that were cast in this movie, like, I know these white people. I know these liberal white people. These seeming liberal white people. You know, we all know them. We all had to deal with them, especially if you live on the East Coast. Definitely if you live in communities where everyone voted for Obama.
I'm like so scared to see this movie.
No, see it. Support this brother. Support these people for making this original movie. It's scary. It will, like, but, like, it's fun, too. Like, you're gonna laugh. Like, I've never, like, I love a horror movie. Like, go, make sure you see it with, like, in a crowd of people. Like, go to, like on a Friday night where everyone's there. You don't want to be the only person in there. It's a lot more fun to, like, laugh and hoot and holler with other people and, like, and to have that group experience. And it's definitely made for that group experience of going from the beginning of the movie to its catharsis. It's just, it's great. And there's some things I've learned about this movie that are just startling to me. So the budget for this film was only $4.5 million. They've already made in the first weekend over $30 million. This movie is catching on. It's spreading. I've never seen so many celebrities, like, retweet and share and, like encourage people just from the bottom of their heart, not because they have a stake in the film, for people to go out and see it. Like, black, actual, you know, stars are just, like, promoting the heck out of it just because of its greatness, and that's beautiful too. I mean, it is, it's just, it's so smart, it's so thrilling, it's funny, it's scary as fuck, it takes you, it slaps, like, and I've been tweeting this a lot. You know, you think you get ahead of it, especially as a black person, you're gonna get ahead of it because you've lived this life. You know these people. This shit sucks. You get what you like, and if you've seen the trailer, you know what he's going for. So you, like, you know, so you're like, ah, oh, I get it. But then it slaps you in the face and you're like, shit, I wasn't ready. And then it slaps you in the face again. You're like, shit, I really wasn't fucking ready. How are you leading me? How are you leading and following me all at the same time? What did you awesome movie?
I mean,
no, it's just, oh.
I want to go see it, but the trailer freaked me out so much. I'm going to go see it, but I'm just like, I wanted to put out a status and be like, black people, tell me why you're so excited about this movie. Because when I saw the trailer, all I could think was, oh, hell no. Hell to the nah. Hell no. Nope, 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 nope.
I mean, I would say it like this. I did not want to see Django, right? These movies are not similar at all, right? No, like, don't compare them in any way, except for black people are still going to be the winners in this movie. You know that's going to happen. Like, so, like, you know that we're not, that black people aren't going to sell out other black people in the end for this movie. So, you know that a black man wrote it. It's going to deal with tough stuff, but there's going to be something for you, a reward for you for seeing it.
Okay, then.
That's where I feel it. That's my sense of it. It's been very interesting looking at white people critique the movie.
I don't care what they have to say.
Well, I mean, it's for them too, because they're getting this experience. You know, they're making this movie make money. They're seeing it. They all love Key and Peele, so they feel connected to this movie because of just that love of this comedian. And so they also get, like, it's a Trojan horse of them, like for real. And it's great. And I don't know, as a black person seeing it, I feel like I help make the horse of the Trojan horse, and so I feel like I'm winning when everyone else is getting the shit kicked into them watching this movie. Like, and you're getting the shit kicked into you too, but like in a different, more satisfying way.
Because you already know.
Yeah, because you're a part of it. You get it. Because that's what's satisfying. And like and what like I was going through was like, oh shit, they're seeing it. like there's no going back after that.
Good.
The other thing I wanted to just talk about is Google. Google stepping up. We're going to start seeing a lot of companies stepping up. And, like, companies already step up in different ways. But they're going to be even more crucial since we've decided that, not we, our elected officials have decided that corporations are people. And that corporations with their dollars are more important than us. And so to, you know, get rid of taxes for the corporations, we lose those beautiful benefits and those important things that are helping keep the world a better place that our federal government does for us, like doing research and racial bias. But now that we have a new administration, all the funding and all that good work that's happening is going to stop. And in the face of losing this funding, we have Google stepping up and giving $11.5 million in grants to help fight racial bias through data. So they've given out five grants, which is great. What was really great is I went and I did some investigations with the companies. Most of these companies are black owned companies that are getting this money, that are doing this hard work, that have been doing this hard work throughout the, since 5 years ago. So this is how it kind of links to, so today, the day that we're recording, it is February 26th. And 5 years ago today, Trayvon Martin lost his life. And 5 years ago today was a start of a new movement. The legacy of the death of Trayvon Martin and the way that the police and the justice system failed that young man, springboarded to where we are today. When we think about the Black Lives Matter movement, when we think about all of the resistance that we've been seeing, from the reactions to, and then all of the other injustices that have happened that have stacked upon themselves, that have been able to be more, that are now hyper visible and hyper a part of our the lexicon of our world, of our that is the root of the divisiveness of our country right now. I mean, in so many ways, the start of this movement and the ripple effects of Trayvon Martin's life being ripped away it's even how we end up having Trump in many ways. Because it becomes the backlash of that move of the positive movement created this evil that we have to contend with. It's crazy that it's been 5 years.
I know.
It's crazy, especially like thinking about my own age and my own transitions in life, and like in that 5 years, like that's like my transition from like baby adulthood to really being a goddamn adult, and like having this be a central part of dialogues. I mean, shit, I don't think we would have Black Girls Laughing. I don't think that some of this movement wouldn't be as important as they are today, but wouldn't be as necessary. And the necessary need for these platforms for people of color, of Black people, to just talk to each other, real about the realities of America right now. I don't think any of these Black podcasts that are doing great work would be at the height if they were. It wouldn't be in the same place without this tragedy that happened. This movement wouldn't be where it is. All of these people talking about race in this way would not be here if this Black boy's joy wasn't ripped away. This Black boy wonder was taken away. We wouldn't be talking about it, and we wouldn't know about the others whose lives have been lost.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about 5 years ago, I was 20. I mean, I followed the Trayvon Martin case, but quietly. I wasn't really in a space of being surrounded by Black people to have that conversation. And it was at a time where I was coming into myself and, like, just my body in general, not even really touching on my Blackness yet. To then look at myself now, 5 years later, and like the leaps and bounds that I have taken since 20 to get where I am now, being involved in so many things and having been involved in so many things and speaking out so much to having this podcast, it's like, whew. It's like that is a milestone in like my growth and development, which is horrible to think about, that it took me quietly following this horrific reoccurrence now at this point in the world that we live in to get to where I am now. Wow, that's crazy. It's really crazy to think about.
Yeah, and just, like, thinking about, like, all of the changes that have happened. Like, think about the video cameras on cell phones now. And how 5 years ago, that wasn't as central as it is today. People weren't going live when shit went down. And if you think about people being able to go live, if Trayvon was able to have that technology 5 years ago, we might have a different outcome.
You think?
When I think about the different outcome, I think Trayvon probably would have still lost his life. But I don't think that George Zimmerman would have been able to get off. Maybe. I don't know. We had the videotapes of, but those are police officers. He's like, we need to remember that that piece of shit was not a police officer. So like maybe there would be more justice, the way that there was more justice for Jordan. The young man that was shot in Florida because of loud music.
Oh, yeah.
because that guy wasn't a police officer. He is now in jail forever. Just like they were that, I mean, they were able to get some sort of justice. Justice would have not been anyone losing their life, but
what a concept.
But yeah, so I think if that, I mean, again, all speculation, all means shit, but it's interesting that the, it's just interesting to think about how much has changed and how much has changed and not changed. Like, we've changed in terms of technology, we've changed in terms of data collection of what's really going on, but then, you know, we also have Trump, so.
So, here we are. All right. I think it's important for us to, like, look at the looks on our faces and knowing our energy levels before we started. I think it's important that we move on. But I'm glad we touched on Trayvon today. And, you know, when this comes out, it'll be past the point. But hopefully it pops back up in your minds throughout the week that you remember him, and despite his tragedy, the great work that's coming from organizations like Movement for Black Lives, Black Lives Matter Global Network, the Dream Defenders, who were some of the first responders in that area, in Miami, to constantly, every day.
The Dream Defenders, they were so essential.
Yeah, that are constantly working every day to combat the white supremacy that is plaguing the lives of all of us. All of us.
And I'm so sorry to Trayvon that it took this tragedy in many ways for a generation to wake up, to re-wake up, to have this, to push us in the direction of justice and to get us out of this, of a period of complacency.
All right, moving on. Actively moving on, because we've already been recording for a while. So I'm gonna skip my check it for this week. I had one, but I'm really excited about your You Better Work. So I'm skipping me to give you more time, because I'm excited for this.
Well, this is something that just came very spur of the moment. And it just came from my own internet habits. And then also, I mean, it kind of bleeds into my anxiety corner, but many of us believe that we are for human rights for all. Many of us believe that, and we believe that in theory, and we recognize, and we can say that and feel okay with ourselves. Like, so there's a new executive order that put young trans youth in jeopardy by taking away the orders that Barack Obama and his administration placed for the use of bathrooms for schools, for trans youth in schools, and let them decide which bathroom that they would like to use. They kicked that back to the states. And if we know about civil rights, is that when it's civil rights, states and individuals will always choose not to give civil rights. And that's why the federal government has to take a stance. And that's why we don't vote on civil rights. Because when we do vote on civil rights, you have things go the wrong way. Look at North Carolina. So, I really started questioning myself about what do I know about what it means being a trans youth. What does it mean? What does that life look like? There's so many lives that I feel like I know so much about. I know every type of white guy. I know their life because every book, movie, play, I was forced or even moved on my own to read has mainly centered around their lives, right? So I just took a moment on Facebook today and watched a ton of videos. And it's like such a small little act to do to just crack open a different world and see content that has been created. And like, and I specifically was looking at news content, you know, informational content that was made for my cisgendered gaze and was made for me to but made on the terms of the lives that it was displaying. And I recognize so quickly my ignorance, how little I know, and how if I want to be an ally for trans rights, I need to learn more. And if I want to really understand how the taking of these of rights of people that, because like right now all of the rights that are being taken away, from the travel ban to this executive order, they do not affect me personally, because I'm a citizen, because I am a cisgendered woman. But it makes me think about when it's going to affect me, and if I am complacent now, or if I don't understand the issue now, how will I be ready when it comes for me? And if I don't stop it now, I can make sure that it doesn't get worse. And there's a lot of us right now that are not affected by the terrible things that are going on. And there's some of us that are trying to be there, but we also still need to just take the moment to learn a little bit more. To put a face on the rights. And so yeah, I'm looking up some books that I want to read, to just really educate myself on this, especially looking at, there was a statistics that like really startled me, that when trans youth have a family that recognizes their transition,
I know what you're gonna say.
That is a safe haven. Their home becomes a safe haven for their life. Their suicide rate plummets. It is like, and I think it's like 58% if they don't have that family support, and it plummets down to 4% when they do have that support. So I just want to know what is going on. What is that life? So if I have someone in my family that trust me with their identity, that I can be of true support, that I can truly be there for them. So yeah, and like, yeah, so that's sort of like where I'm at right now. And I don't know, I think people, for myself, I can get so clouded in focusing in on the horrors of my living my life and my identity without having empathy or taking a moment to look at other people's realities. As a place to be able to, at the very least, relate, connect, and work together. So it's not divided, because that's the thing that's how conservatives or the right or just evil people, whatever you call them, that's how they use our identity politics against us, and that's how we can mess up strong movement, is by holding on, by not seeing how our different identities intersect. So yeah, I want you to take a little bit of time. I mean, it's just, I mean, again, Google is a world of information.
And free.
Free. And so free. Take a moment. I mean, I personally like searching and looking on Facebook because it's interesting to see how people curate things. And you definitely want to look at your own sources, and you want to trust your own groups and the places that you go for that information. You want to vet them for sure. But everyone's on here. It's on Facebook. And every life has its own slice of that pie. And sometimes it's so easy for you not to see the rest of it. But if you use Facebook like Google, you can see a completely different world sometimes.
Well, that's important for you and me and all of us. And hopefully we learn more to do better. Because we can all do better.
We truly can. Do better, friends. That's my do better word. Just do better.
Do better. You better do better. All right. Ugh. Time to be anxious?
Bitch, I've been anxious this entire time. I mean, yeah.
Who went first? You went first last time, so.
I did. So you go first this time. Let me get it ready.
Mine. Okay. Okay.
You ready?
Oh, I guess we can introduce, you know, we're in the anxiety corner now, you guys.
Yeah, we're going into the anxiety corner. Each of us, we get 2 minutes to talk about whatever is making us extra anxious about the Trump administration. Because there's always something that makes us anxious. It's in our hope to not talk too much about Trump in the show, but, you know, we're already failing a little bit this episode. But that's just how fucking bad it really is. So, B is going to go first. I've got my stopwatch ready to go, and I am going to start you now.
So, U.S. Customs and Border Protection confirmed Saturday that it held Muhammad Ali Jr., the son of the late legendary boxer, for questioning in Florida airport earlier this month, but said Ali wasn't singled out because he's Muslim. Yes, I am soaking up time in my 2 minutes because I just want that to soak into your skin like lotion, like a face mask, and be like, bitch! You lying, because two of the questions he was asked repeatedly is, where did you get your name from, and are you Muslim? Muhammad Ali Jr., you wouldn't hear the name and be like, wonder who that is. He's an American citizen. He has all the paperwork. Ugh. And then the spokesperson for U.S. Customs and Border Protection tried to say that the agency doesn't discriminate on the basis of religion, race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation, which contradicts the travel ban that Trump just put on an entire religion, race, and ethnicity of people based off the idea that, quote, Muslims are terrorists because white America is so fucking brainwashed by white supremacy. I have no words. I thought I would freak out more when I only had 2 minutes to freak out. But really, it's just the lies. There's just so many lies. I'm shrugging my shoulders now because I had so much time to process this. And I can't freak out anymore. And I want to freak out, and I'm still really anxious, but I don't. You guys, help me.
Five.
Somebody help me. This is insanity.
Two.
I'm just talking to take up time.
All right.
I like am past the point of anxiety for that one. I reached a new level. Okay. I'm getting my timer ready for Brittany so she can freak out. And I'm going to start it now.
So, this week was CBAC 2017, or the Conservatives Political Action Group, whatever, their conference. So, last year, Trump wasn't even invited because they were like, nah, brah, you are not really conservative. But since then, they have started suckling at the teat of white supremacy and letting anti-Semites go freaking damn wild. And that was CPAC 2017. There are a lot of crazy things, but I think the biggest crazy effing thing, which shows how terrible this administration is that freaking Steve Bannon came out from behind the curtain and went to and spoke on stage at CPAC. Yes, the anti-Semite, the former editor of Breitbart News. Yes, that anti-Semitic white nationalist alt-right piece of shit publication, online magazine.
Oh, what? You gave yourself another timer.
I don't know what I did wrong. No, I don't know. Anyways, they let him go up there and speak, where he talked about how the media is the enemy of the people. Trump went out there and called the media the enemy of the people. I'm sitting here, I'm like, where are we going to talk about the plays that this is coming from? Like, are we in real life?
Five, four,
how this is just
three,
so crazy.
Two.
And Trump apparently is a great boss for women, but white women only.
And we're done. A lot to freak out about, folks. A lot to freak out about. All right. Something positive. A throwback jam. You got one?
A throwback jam. Do I have one? I do have one,
actually.
I was going
to say, it's your week.
It's my week. I'm, like, nervous because I feel like this might have been one, and I'm going to be really pissed off if it has been, but that list doesn't exist anymore, so there was no way for me to check. So, earlier this week, I, like, made a crazy claim that no good music came from 2001, and that you will never find a 2000s playlist with 2001 songs on it. And then I went to fact check my own ass, and I went onto the internet and started looking up lists of songs from 2001, and I looked at everything from alternative music to rock to R&B to hip hop, all of it. And I ran into one song that I love, and with all of the, like, with the Remy Ma, Nicki Minaj stuff that's going on, I wanted to think about another female MC. And that female MC is Eve. Because we don't talk about Eve enough. And my throwback jam is Let Me Blow Your Mind.
That's literally what I started dancing to in my head the second you said Eve. I was like, it took a while to get me in, and I'm gonna take my time. Not that bullshit can get you. Now let me blow your mind.
Yeah, Eve was everything. And that girl's just like a billionaire right now. The right? Married billionaire. And she's living her best life. And she doesn't need to make music anymore. And I'm feeling it. Like, go sit with your money and live a great life. Be carefree. So, yeah, Eve, 2001. Yeah, 2001 had some hot jams, and I was like, acting like 2001 wasn't a good year for music, but, yeah.
You lied. Eve. You lied.
I really did lie. I lied. But, yeah. It's fun. It's a good jam to just dance to. I'm starting to run again on March 1st, so that made it to my playlist.
Cheers, 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 so, cheers. Happiness.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But it's good to have good tunes, and I think I'll have a couple of 2001 playlists for my running needs. okay, well, it's time for the one, the only, our final segment of every episode, our signature segment.
Giggle.
Cackle.
Roar.
Yay! You were as goofy and as corny as me.
I think it might have been the mint chocolate chip ice cream I had not too long before this.
Just so you're having a sugar high. Yeah. Gone mad. Gone wild. Be gone wild.
It's not a porno. listen. Okay, we've hinted at it so much, so we're just going to start here. Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma. So.
Oh my God.
I'm sure everyone who has a podcast, every black podcast will be talking about this week.
And a few white ones too.
I don't care about them. Anywho. I made this my roar, but like, I still am
trying to unpack it all?
Yeah, because
that's where I'm at.
Like, when you look at the picture for the song on SoundCloud, it's a lot. It's a lot. Like, if you want to talk about foreshadowing, the Barbie with the detached limbs and blood really just starts it off great for you. And I don't know what to say about this, except for I don't know if there's anything in this whole wide world Nicki Minaj can say back.
No. She tried, though. She tried. Did you see what she did?
No.
She put on her Instagram like a video, and it's like an audio of Beyonce singing a song about how it's taking a Prince song, Nicki, the bad Nicki song about being a you know, the one that masturbates, that one.
Yeah.
She's like doing that. She's like making her own parody about Nicki. And that's her sort of thing, like, well, the queen, Beyonce, said I was the rap queen. It must be true. That's her only response so far.
Like,
It's not a good response when someone has named you, named everybody. Like, everyone has been called out in this damn thing. Like, the list is like 10, 15 deep of people that are called out in this thing. Like, Drake, Weezy,
Trey Songz.
Trey Songz. Meek Mill, of course.
Gucci.
Everyone. It's like everyone is in this damn thing. Like,
yeah, someone made a post and like, how many times did Remy Ma drag Nicki in Sheether? And I was like, how do you count the whole song? How do you, because when it first started, I was like, oh, this is about to be a lame diss track. Like, someone ghost wrote for Drake a diss track, like, that's what level. And then she like started talking and I was like, wait, what?
It was like she was reading her diary.
For real.
Like, it was like, damn, you like went into Nicki's house, stole her diary, and then wrote this ill rap about it. Like, shit.
To the point where, like, Trey Songz tweeted, like, Nicki, you should be mad at Remy Ma.
No, he implicated himself a little too much, because he kind of went a little too hard. Because like, everyone else sort of like let that shit fly, and he kind of like went and like, I didn't say anything.
Yeah. So I saw someone else. I don't even remember who she dragged. I forgot these people. She named so many names. I'm forgetting the names of the people that she named. But someone was like, I was watching Moana with my daughter. What the hell happened? Like, I come back and I get all these ads.
That was a guy from Love and Hip Hop. Yeah.
Someone updated Remy Ma's Wikipedia page. It says in 2017, Smith was convicted of murdering Nicki Minaj and sentenced to 8 years in the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility for Women.
What?
Like, obviously, what? It's not real, but.
That's crazy.
And I can't, like, that's a new standard plateau level of petty that I don't know if anybody will ever reach that.
It's like no one can do that, because it's not, it's like written in to the rules of hip hop to be that petty with each other, you know? And like, if you're gonna call yourself a queen, you gotta be ready for someone to throw rocks at your crown. And like, she has come for her. She said, I am taking that crown and I'm taking your head and your ass with it. Like, shit.
She didn't throw no damn rocks. She threw a damn boulder.
She came through with a machete of words. It's just like too much. Like, I would feel bad to tell anyone's business that much on any platform, let alone a song.
Well, they already had beef, so I'm assuming Nicki says something else somewhere to somebody. I mean, she always be talking, so. She said, Remy Ma just said, I'm not the one. And instead of like how we say it, and usually people don't test us afterwards, Remy Ma said it. Nicki tested her. And then she said, here's a receipt that told on this day, I told you I was not. And you thought, here we are.
And she said in the past, like, and some of her past bars, it seems like she's been throwing some dirt at Nicki, but she hasn't been explicit, like, with names, you know? And what she said, she's like, when I'm talking about you, you will know, because I will name your mama, your daddy, your kids. I will have your birth certificate, big information. Like, you will not be confused that I am talking about your ass. And it is very clear. I mean, the image alone, I mean, it's just like, damn. destroy the image, the everything that Nikki has made about herself. The entire facade has been just ripped to shreds. It's like, oh, for the past 6 years you've been doing this work, I don't give a fuck, it's gone now. Start over, bitch. That's all that Nikki can do at this point is go hide it. I mean, she either has to come up with something fire, and you're running out of time because it dropped. We're waiting. You're running out of time. You're going to let Remy just end you if you don't say anything real. You don't have the firest of tracks ever to come out. Like, and you had 72 hours when it dropped. You've got like 4 left. Get your shit together, Nikki. Because it's over. Because she's going to have... It will be cemented. The Wikipedia page will become real at that point, and you will be dead. And she's going to have to come back from the grave somehow. And I don't know what that will be, but that would... She would have to come back wearing a fucking nun outfit and have been like... That's the way that Nikki... Like, I'm completely different. I'm nothing... Because no part of her image has not been tainted.
I mean, the only thing Nikki can do is go back to what she did with, like, her second album of just, like, catering to white people and white pop.
Yep. That's what she could do. Yeah. But, like... And that, like, the last couple of verses of the song, she, like, goes... Like, she... talks about Nikki's money. Like, you have the worst contracts. You get 2 cents for every song, like, download. I own my masters, bitch. You have to work 15 times as hard to even get close to what I can get. I was like, damn. Again, people, black folks, we gotta own our shit. And... call out our people who don't, too, I guess. Oh, man. I was just like, damn. Oh, I even felt like weird at parts. Like when she like called her like a SpongeBob, taking all the, it's just like real nasty. It's just like, it's just, oh, I didn't know you could be so ruthless in a song.
Yeah. I was just like, did you have to do her like that? Damn.
Like, it's almost too much, but I like it at the same time. I like it. I'm like, oh, drag them. Like, that's a part of being famous. You gotta be ready for that. Your shit's going to get all out. And then, oh, the whole verse is about, like, she even brings up, like, Miley Cyrus and T-Swift. And, like, oh, you want to come all hard at them? But they ain't going to do anything. They're... Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana. She called Miley Cyrus Hannah Montana in the song. Like, you can't come out hard at Hannah Montana. That ain't shit. That ain't nothing. That's like me going after, like, the weakest white girl at the club. And acting like I'm a boss after that. Like, no.
Alright, yeah. Miley, what's good?
Like, yeah, what is Miley gonna do? I'm Miley Cyrus, stop picking on me. Like,
but anyone can go for Taylor Swift. Please always, always go for her.
I mean, you know, Taylor Swift is trash. Still hasn't said anything about Trump.
Nope.
Taylor ass Swift.
Nope. So that was mine.
That was yours, and I like was. I feel like it was a co-roar because I was just like.
I told you.
Oh, it's so crazy. I do have a little cackle because it's like so small. The other day, I watch a lot of MSNBC because I hate myself. And. I really hate myself when I'm watching the white people on MSNBC. Because, like, yeah, AM Joy, it's great. Always the truth. Always feel uplifted that journalism is real. And that people are trying to talk about what's going on in this world and have a racial lens on it. But I was, like, up late, and I watched, like, the Lawrence O'Donnell show. And he, like, comes on, like, 11 or 9 or whatever. He comes on after Rachel Maddow. I have never seen this white man before in my life. I don't know why he gets to do the news. I don't know why he's famous. But he was on there, had a show, and had a panel of white guys. And this panel of white guys was just dragging Trump for an hour. And it was glorious. It was as petty as it can get. It was like watching The Real Housewives of Hollywood. You know when white bitches go after white bitches and it's just really satisfying? Like, it was like that. I was like, look at these white dudes tear down Trump. Tear down the system that allows Trump to be in existence. And it's just nice to see them say it. And them tear each other, like, and just like vicious. It was just the most vicious shit I have seen. I was like, yes, yes, where's my popcorn? I am here to watch these white men trash Trump so bad. And like, I had like the one Republican on there, and then they would like dogpile on him and fuck him up real good. And then they're like, bye. Who's next? Who's ready? Oh, all right, we'll just shade all of you with you not in the room. We don't give a fuck. You don't have to even be here. We're just gonna trash you for an hour. And it was so good. So yeah, if you get to light like some kind of like Schadenfreude to see white people like lose their shit over Trump, watch some late night cable news, specifically on MSNBC, because they're, especially the white men, because they're like, this is a white man that's on MSNBC because he is conservative and he gets his own show because he's conservative. So seeing the conservatives just be like, this guy's a lunatic, we really need to make sure he's not crazy, and just like go in and go into the facts, and then to go into why they wouldn't even talk to Trump back in the day, and like why they still won't talk to him. It's just amazing. So yeah, that's my cackle. Go sit there and enjoy the shade fest that is Lawrence O'Donnell and his gaggle of
white dudes,
catty white dudes.
I thought it said Larry. Okay, I thought what you put in the document said Larry the Cable Guy is petty, and I was like, when were you watching Larry the Cable Guy?
I have never watched Larry the Cable Guy.
I was so confused.
No, I don't watch that. Like, I'm a redneck, and I'm that type of, like, no. I don't understand that. Well, that's our show.
That's our show.
What?
Guys, can you hear like the difference in our energy levels after we talk to each other for like an hour? It's great. It's great.
No, I'm not sad anymore. I think I can go attack my week.
Yay! That's what I'm here for. Woo! I'm ready to go eat peanut butter M&Ms because I got myself some, because it's the week of, you know, where I'm reminded that being a woman is stupid. So I got myself some peanut butter M&Ms.
I want some chicken. I always want chicken. And this month has been hard because, you know, that transition to a new job, meaning you don't have a paycheck for a fucking long time. Tuesday can't come quick enough. It's all I have to say, and I just want some chicken.
It's so close.
so close. So freaking close. So, guys, just like, I guess, like, some announcements. Go to blackgirlslaughing.com. Look at our show notes. They're amazing. Two, go on Black Girls Laughing on Facebook at facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. Twitter, you know us. BLK Girls Laughing, no G. Same thing on Instagram. Also, if you're taking the Khan Academy course that I talked about last episode, all about storytelling and from Pixar, go use hashtag BGL stories. Any other news?
Nope.
Rate us on iTunes. Yeah,
please. Like, if you're a friend listening to this, just can you, like, if you're figuring out how to, like, help me out right now, that would be cool.
Yeah, like a really nice rating. Because, you know, there's some other people trying to, like, crouch on our name. Not our full name, but, like, sort of our name.
What?
In terms of podcasts. And, like, I don't need them to be beating us just because they're new. So,
Who is doing? I haven't seen who is what.
We'll talk about it offline. So,
I'm going to fight.
I just want people to see our show. I think people will like it. I think we're having a good time. We only do it for listeners. So if you like it and you want more people to listen, share it, subscribe, and leave us nice comments.
Please.
Or constructive comments. Again, I can take it.
Yeah, we can take it.
All right, guys. Have great weeks. Get ready for March. Come in like a lion or out like a lamb or whatever. Like, do it up.
Have you ever felt like a plastic bag? I don't know. I was quoting Katy Perry.
What? I was like, what the hell is she talking about? All right.
All right.
Bye, people. We love
you. Bye.